Welcome, Money Buddies, to this week's episode of Money Talk. This week, we're talking about the bike method and how to apply all this knowledge you're gaining. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming, and let's get talking. We are going to talk about bike, B-I-K-E today, and not an e-bike or all the bike talk that you hear me mention from time to time. Our money buddy today has a great method that he's going to give us all a lot of insight into today, and I'm excited to learn from today's money buddy. We met at FinCon this last year, and if you have any interest in creating financial content, you should figure out how to get to FinCon. You're going to meet so many other great people and creators who just want to help each other out. There will be someone who is doing what you want to do, and they will help you figure out how to do it as well, because if there's one thing we all know in this money world, there's plenty out there for all of us. But today's conversation is around the bike method, and it's fantastic. I don't want to spoil too much, so let's keep this moving into today's episode. Today's money buddy is Anthony Weaver. Anthony, the host of the About That Wallet podcast, understands the struggles of financial hardship firsthand. Growing up in Baltimore, he saw the challenges that money can present. However, Anthony believes financial literacy doesn't have to be complicated. Through his podcast, he shares practical strategies, personal stories, and expert advice to help you build wealth and transform your relationship with money, regardless of your current financial footing. And that's going to lead us into today's episode and this week's money talking points, which are 1, why is talking about money important? 2, why should people consider creating content around personal finance? And 3, are budgets important? With those money talking points in mind, let's get talking and welcome Anthony to the show. Welcome to today's interview. Joining me today, I have Anthony Weaver, and we're here to talk about bikes. And I love biking, but it's not quite that sort of biking. I'm excited to learn more into this acronym and figure out what it really stands for and how we can use it. But we'll start off with our money talking points like we do every episode. Anthony, why do you feel talking about money is so important?
You have to think about it. Money is one of the reasons why a lot of people actually get divorced. And understanding why that is happening is not so much about the money. It's more so about the communication piece. So money is actually a communication topic. Just think about it. Money, if a dollar bill is just sitting on your countertop right now, it could be just $1. You're like, okay, well, whatever. But if I turn that $1 to $200, it's sitting on your table. You're like, man, I could really, you know, go get something to eat with that money. Like your feelings start to come into it. So the reason why money is so important to me is because I want to help people kind of distinguish the physical from the emotion and really dive into how can you actually put money to do what it's supposed to do, but you feel confident while you're doing it. You provide options in your lifestyle, and also you kind of create an awareness for what you really want to do with your money and what you want to do with your life. And that's the reason why I like talking about money and why money is very important to me.
Yeah. And talking about it so that you can actually figure out what you want to do with it. Once you get to that point where you realize money is a tool, then like everything unlocks for you and it becomes fun to manage it. How have you seen kind of your mindset shift around viewing money as a tool?
I have to remember that money operates differently. So just like a Phillips head is different from a flathead screwdriver. The Phillips head can only do so much. However, we use the Phillips heads to punch holes in things, like, you know, in a cardboard box or something like that. Yes, it can do that. Is it the right tool to do that? Probably not. But if you only got a screwdriver, everything becomes a screw. And then the flathead is the same thing. It's like, well, I can pry open this can opener right quick. And like when you try to open up boxes, I'd rather use a flathead screwdriver. But when it comes to money, it kind of helped me understand that money actually operates in the same exact way. Can money make me happy? Sure, you can force it to make you happy, almost like you can use a screwdriver to punch holes in cardboard boxes. But money is really there, when you take your emotions out of it, it's really there to kind of provide freedom, time freedom, or provide you those abilities to spend time with family. I had somebody on my show talk about how they were able to spend their last month to even hold their mom's hand and even watch her last breath. And because of money, she was able to do that. So yes, money is a tool, but how are you going to utilize it in your life? And granted, it can provide happiness. It can provide you time freedom. It can provide you food on the table. It can provide joy, but also it can provide hate as well, depending on how it's actually utilized. So money is a tool. It's just how are you going to utilize it and show up in your life. So you got to think about your future, your current, and also your past on how you're going to move forward with it.
And I really like the visual there of thinking about like stabbing holes with a screwdriver into a box. And thinking about that is like, money will make me happy. You're just like jabbing the box. Who knows? Like, right. That's funny. And then maybe you're trying to plug those holes with money is what you're trying to do to happiness out of it. We're going to get to budgets, of course. That's a part of your method and how you teach and everything like that. But I also, as we're both fellow podcasters, and maybe there's someone listening that is like, wow, I hear people talking about money. I'm really interested in it. I kind of just want to hear your take really quickly about why should people consider creating content? What do you enjoy about creating financial content?
So with the platform of the feeling of going through these different levels, that can kind of help out the next person. If you feel as though you're comfortable enough, this is the time where you can start creating that content. Now, for me, when it came to start creating that content, one of the things is that I was just new to the financial world and really in a sense of understanding of what money can do for me and how I can utilize it to kind of, you know, either pay for things off or even having that ability to really give back to my mom for everything that she's done and didn't know. So now I'm like picking her brain. I was like, cool. Mom, what did you learn about this? All right, cool. Now I can create an episode about that. Or what did you wish you would have known when you were younger? Cool. Now I can create an episode about that because I'm learning from so many other people. Mm-hmm. To now I'm actually creating, having experts come on to talk about those different topics. So that's the reason why I think you should look into creating content if it's something that you can do at length. But if you're still new at it, I suggest to go to other podcasters, get on that platform, get comfortable talking about either the same topic over and over again, or you can add a little spin, put in your personal stories. But once you feel that comfortability in yourself and your message, that's perfect. You're golden.
Yeah, I love the idea of go to other people's shows and kind of just get into their network. And maybe you can hop on some video calls with other people in the community and kind of practice your interview or whatever, right? Or practice telling that story or give some like sample presentations to your library, or just like you said, get the reps in practicing it, because if you're not going to be in like the content creating for the long term, you're going to fizzle out really quickly. So you kind of have to be prepared with what you actually want to say.
And on the financial side, I need to bring that up too. A lot of podcasters burn out quickly financially. And that's the reason why they only have about maybe 20 episodes, because depending on who's their editor, they might charge $3,000 for just four episodes. So you got to be mindful of that as well. So there's a lot of range.
Yeah. Yeah. There is some financial commitment to creating content if you want to use tools. Like if you don't know how to do it on your own with like the free tools that are out there, it can be really difficult to figure out how to do it. Anthony, I do want to get into your bike method. I love biking. So when I saw it, it really stood out to me. What is the bike method?
Yeah. So the bike method, B is for budgeting. You know, you got to know where your money's going. I is talking about the income. You also have to understand, you know, how to make some money. K is knowledge, which kind of provides you is where you get to learn the tools, the terms, the strategies to kind of help you where you want to go in your life. And then E is the execution side of the house. This is where you actually got to take action consistently and also make sure that they are very small, but they're very impactful to kind of make sure where a lot of people say move the needle. This is where you want to move the pedal to go forward into your journey.
I really like that idea of small but impactful. And we're going to come back to that as we go through each letter, because I think that is a huge deal for people is they try to make it massive and impactful and then they just burn themselves out. But let's start with the B there for budgeting. How important is budgeting in what you teach?
Yeah, budgeting, it's the foundation. You know, when you try to build a house and everybody rushed to build the foundation, right? You plug, like you got a nice solid flat concrete slab down, but then you'd be like, huh, well, I want a toilet down in the basement. Crap, now I gotta go dig up all the concrete that is put in, right, just to put a downspout in there just to kind of do that. And then I was like, oh crap, now I gotta bring in electricity in the house, now I gotta dig up a little spot over here. But if a budget actually allows you to plan out all of that so that you can kind of get things in order, in a sense of you telling the concrete where to go and where not to go. In this sense, you're actually telling your money where to go and where not to go, because you have a foundation for your family. If you're setting up hey, I want to make sure my child has money for college. Then you telling your money, hey, my money is over here for college. Hey, I want to take my family to go out on vacations. All right, now let's create a bucket so that we can actually start having vacations that way. And then so you kind of create this little, I guess you could say, predetermined locations of where you want your money to go. Mm-hmm. And then everything else is kind of like the gray area. But that is pretty much laying out your guardrails so that you can actually build on top of that. And that actually determines your actions when you get money. So if you get a windfall of $10,000, you'd be like, cool, I already know where everything's going to go. 10% here, yeah. 20% here, 50% for housing, and 30% for wants. And that's where you can start divvying out to those little buckets. As long as the buckets are full, they hit your minimum threshold. Cool. Now you can start investing a little bit more, or you can kind of go on that vacation a lot sooner.
Yeah. And to continue the picture you were painting there of like building this foundation and everything like that, it's that framework. So like, if you've ever seen anyone pour cement for a sidewalk, they have two wooden bars on each side to keep the cement in the right place. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's what I'm visualizing here is your budget and your income is the cement. Like it's, you have all the framework and your income's coming in and it's filling these different lines and whatever it may be. And I love the idea that a budget allows you to know where to put the surplus. And I think that's what a lot of people miss out on is that surplus comes in, whether it's a bonus from work, it's an inheritance, whatever it might be, and they just blow it, right? They don't know where to put it. But if you have that framework set up, it's just plug and play. And you say, yep, $10,000 came in, I'm going to 10% to savings, 20% to this other thing. And it just goes from there and it makes it a whole lot easier. How have you seen that impact your life? Just personally, how has that framework helped you?
Well, it helped me, I would say, mostly when it came to emergencies. There's been a time when my car has broken down and I needed, actually, no, it didn't break down. I actually ran into a curb. It was a rainy day. And
no, it broke down. You can just say that.
It broke down. Yeah, it broke down. And what happened was I needed some rims because they were cracked in the process along with the radiator and everything like that. But because I was able to have my buckets pre-filled or my budgeting already outlined on where they're supposed to go, when that happened, I was like, cool, no problem. I have the money set aside, paid the insurance company. They was like, cool, what color rims do you want? And what type of radiator, whatever else you need, just let us know. That allowed me to kind of get back on my feet a lot faster versus if I didn't budget for car emergencies. I'd have been really struggling trying to figure out, well, man, I don't know how I'm going to get back and forth to work. I'm going to have to try to figure out how to buy a rental car. I'm going to have to figure out all this extra stuff when if I have the money already set aside for it, this is the best place to put it.
Yeah. And cars hit home with a lot of people because they're an unfortunate necessity that we like all have to have one to get around, right? Yep. And when something happens to that, there's the emergency of the car, right? There's then the emergency of your income potentially being stopped because maybe if you're working hourly, now you're not working. And then there's your paycheck being reduced. Then there's everything else that snowballs after that of not being able to afford groceries. And you can see how that quickly balloons just from something like you said, the radiator was damaged. And maybe that makes it so the car can't make your full commute without overheating or whatever it might be. And I recently heard a really essential way to look at an emergency fund is it cuts your emergencies in half because your car emergency is a car emergency, but it's not a financial emergency now. Whereas if you didn't have it, then you have this and this and this, and they just add up so quickly. And that, and it's the wrong kind of snowball, right? You want to be throwing snowballs, having fun, not having one roll over you. So,
so true. And I think there's like an old saying where there's like a dog laying on a rock and it's like, why doesn't the dog get up? Like it knows it's laying on a rock. And the thing about it is like, it doesn't hurt enough to get them to move. So that's one of the things I try to think about. It's like, you know, you got to make sure that everything is set up so that you don't have to worry about that problem.
Yeah. So that it doesn't hurt when you do need to move. And I have fallen asleep before on a rock. I was just tired. So that was like after a long day of hiking, you just brought that memory back to the forefront. It's so funny. Everyone's out like hiking and looking at this viewpoint and I'm literally like out cold on a rock on the side of the path. But let's keep this moving. Let's get into the next piece of the bike method. Let's talk about the I a little bit. And you mentioned that was income. How does income impact our situation? I think so often we're just taught to cut back expenses, right? How does income play a factor?
This is the driver for your bike, and actually the trajectory for where you want your money to go. What do you plan on doing with it? Because this actually helps out with your habits, and that determines the results that you have based on the habits that you put in place. So this actually builds on the budget side of the house. Now that you got everything set up, and we're going to go back to the house analogy here. Now we got to figure out, all right, now that we got the framework, the wooden framework, we got the rebars down, this is where we got to figure out the concrete. Okay, cool. We know how to get some concrete. We know how to make some concrete. We got some down just enough to kind of cover the foundation. We have more budget and more stuff to figure out. We got to start laying out the rooms here now. Mm-hmm. Now we got to get the walls up. Now we got to pour concrete into those walls. And we got to get more and more concrete, so much so that our budget can handle this influx of concrete. And with that being said, it's like we know how to make income because obviously we're here right now, but that ability to make more, you need a bigger shovel, you need a bigger concrete mixer. This is where that comes into play. We really need to have that income.
Yeah. So often people just stop at, oh, I'm going to cut back all my subscriptions. But if your income still isn't enough to support you after that, that is a real just point of struggle. Yeah. Is it possible to win financially just by looking at our expenses?
You only can cut back by so much. You know, it's like, exactly. All right, like as they say, like the feng shui way of home cleaning. If you have nothing in your house, you're going to be sleeping down on concrete. Again, you're hurting yourself. You know, it's uncomfortable. Let's get comfortable. And that's where the money, the capacity of having more. And really think of having that abundance mindset to just bring in some more. And that actually can help impact your financial situation.
Yeah. Be willing to go out and try to bring in more. Okay. That's such a good way to look at it, because if we go from the lens of trying to bring in more instead of just the lens of trying to cut back everything else, mm-hmm. it's that abundance mindset that there's enough out there. It's not a scarcity mindset that there will never be enough and I just have to cut back and make do with what I have. And honestly, managing your money gets a whole lot more fun when you're making more money. Yep. To be like, it's not as much fun when you're just trying to cut back and live on a $40,000 income or whatever it might be. If you can make that work and grow for you, it gets easier and easier, honestly.
Yep. Whether it's staying late for work or finding another job or different things, but that brings up to the knowledge side of the house.
How does this knowledge piece help? Like, what do you want to share about knowledge?
Yeah. So one thing that we know how to make money, which is setting just the basic, like we got money right now, but to get more, we need to kind of start thinking about how can we leverage. This is where leverage come in the play. Do we leverage our network first? Do we leverage our current jobs first? Do we try to go out and find other jobs that we have free time to do? Or do we look into what is it based on the budgeting that we set up to be and the lifestyle that we want to have? So meaning, like, if your job is already comfortable, you already got enough income to kind of support your life right now. Now it's kind of like, well, now I got the income, but what do I want to do with my life? What do you feel as though that's valuable to you? Is it time with family? Is it going on vacation, building memories, instead of having stuff? A lot of people like to buy a lot of stuff, but how do we manage that? And also in the knowledge realm, you want to start understanding credit. You understand insurance. Going back to, hey, you know, how much insurance should I have? Should I be paying it monthly? Should I be paying it biannually? What are the tax savings on that? What are the saving strategies that I can do? And also, what other costly financial mistakes that I can avoid? And what are some opportunities that I can actually take advantage of now that I have money and I have a little bit of money for investing, or even a lot of money for investing? Especially when the stock market goes down, remember, you got to buy low, sell high. Everybody complains, oh, the stock market is down. That should be like, yes, open up the banks. Like, yeah, that should be your moment. Truck,
yep.
Yeah, let's go on and back. It will bounce back up and you'll take those opportunities. So you actually have that flexibility to spot opportunities a lot faster in the knowledge room.
Once your income is starting to, like you said, pour over that initial foundation, and really starting to build up that you got to build up the rest of your house, that's when you start to ask those other questions of like, do I need to get insurance? I was just recently working with a client where the insurance piece wasn't super expensive. They just maybe didn't quite know the right questions to ask or whatever, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And as soon as you just prompt someone, and I think that's why it's so important to either get connected with like coaches or planners or even just a community, right? Because if, mm-hmm. if it was a community, right, and you upload a document saying, here's my insurance elections for 2026, what am I missing? Because I frankly don't know enough about insurance. Someone's going to immediately look over and be like, well, you should probably consider these things. And if they're mm-hmm. cheap, just do it. Like, and I think that's the power of community. How have you seen community really help either in your finances or in others?
In my financial realm, it has opened up my eyes into the insurance realm, definitely, especially about life insurance, mm-hmm. learning about wills and understanding estate planning. That has been very helpful for that. Credit, it's like personal finance is personal. So when it came to credit, it's kind of like, okay, well, that was nice for your strategy. Mm-hmm. And some of the strategies that I use to kind of either A, get out of credit or block my credit and so forth, that's been great. But the community has been really helpful for us, like keeping a pulse on what's happening with other clients, what are their clients are seeing mm-hmm. versus what my clients are seeing. Or we'll just share war stories a little bit and try to compare, like, what could we have done better or improved? Mm-hmm. So that's been really good.
Yeah. And it's super powerful to talk to people in that role because, yeah, you miss something that maybe you're not super familiar with, or someone shares a strategy like you talked about. Credit is something that people can use in a million different ways.
Yep.
My wife and I are looking to adopt, and we've been using 0% credit cards because we know we'll have the savings in time mm-hmm. and we can easily make that work. It's not going to be super tight and we're risking a bunch of credit card interest. But for someone else, a 0% credit card might be the most dangerous thing they could do. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole idea around personal finance is personal, right? And we need to keep it that way and remember that we all have unique situations and that there's no blanket advice that's going to help everybody. But just talking about it is going to make us all more aware of the different situations and more aware of different opportunities that we have.
Oh, I wanted to share one thing. For the person that's looking, that's listening, you can actually utilize podcasts such as this one mm-hmm. to actually be part of your community. Because I actually helped out with me, helped me out with like help out with the savings. It brought me back to when I first started saving, which is just using an Excel spreadsheet. Just kind of start down and just kind of map it out. Like, hey, if I save $1 for a week and really keep it in there, it's just kind of building that confidence. Like, hey, I can really save $1. Let's go on and move it up to $5 for a week. Let's see if I can keep that in the bank for a week. And let's keep upping it up that way. So then now that you got comfortable at least putting money to the side, let's start thinking about, okay, what does 10% of my income put to the side look like? Even if it's just in savings, but you're building that confidence before mm-hmm. you start investing it in other places. But for right now, just start focusing on the small stuff, control the controllables, and let's keep moving. That's one of the things that community has really helped me out with.
Yeah. And as you're saying that, like people who are listening, if you want to get involved in a community, I don't know if there's a single podcast host out there that wouldn't be super enthused for you to join their community, right? Like for people to reach out, it's super meaningful for us and exciting to just get to engage with each of you listening. So if you're on the precipice or on the fence of reaching out, please do it because every one of us that share online here would love it. But yeah. You led perfectly into the next area I want to go to, which is that application, right? Mm-hmm. And actually like doing it and building momentum, because we mentioned at the very beginning that so many times we use that big giant thing that's going to be monumental instead of these small things to build momentum. And that $1 savings is going to do absolutely nothing for your long-term financial picture, but it could do everything in terms of the momentum and mindset that you build around actually being able to save money. Like seeing yourself save money for the first time can be a huge deal. How do people begin to execute once they have all this knowledge and everything?
This is the fun part. Like they say, knowledge is power, but execution is everything. Yep. They don't say that. I say that. they say knowledge is power, but I think the other thing is wisdom that's being missed. And this is where the wisdom come into play, because wisdom helps you know when to spend and when not to spend. And this mm-hmm. is kind of giving you that insight of like, hey, I have enough history to know. I like, say, for instance, with stock markets, I've been playing around with, say, you've been watching Microsoft for a long time. I know every time in October, the stock market goes down. So that means that would be perfect time to buy Microsoft. And I'd be like, yeah, I know every time in the spring, Microsoft stock market is high. Okay, I know when to sell. This is an opportunity of understanding where everything really meets the road, because you have the budget not already set up for that particular item. You have the income to support that in case things go wrong. You have the knowledge to really know, hey, this is actually about to happen. And this is where the execution come into play. It was like, hey, I know when to hold them. I know when to fold them and get out of there. So this is pretty much the crux. It might be a short liner in that, a thin line, but that thin line is a make or break for your bike. Because either if you execute and you think like, yeah, I knew everything, blah, blah, blah. But when you fall off that bike, the execution, when you just getting like, I'm sure we all started on bikes sometimes and we try to pedal and we might have missed that pedal one time and then it like scratched the back of your leg.
Hurts so bad.
So many times, right? But having that moment, it's like, yeah, we were trying to execute. But if we would just took some time and really polished, you know, the basics, once you polish those basics, it takes you so much further. And that's why I say execution is so small, but it's so impactful for you to move forward, because you do have to take action. And even an inaction is an action. Sometimes when you're going downhill, you don't really need the pedal. Save your energy. Coast down that hill and wait until you see the hill coming right back up. Build your energy up. Think about it. All right, cool. You see the bike slowing down a little bit. Let's go on and start getting some reps in so you don't lose all that momentum going downhill. And you can get up the hill a lot easier. And that's part of the execution. That's part of the process. We're going to have some ups. We're going to have some downs. And the beautiful thing about the bike is like, yeah, we might fall off, but you have the knowledge, you have the skills, and you have the confidence to get back on that bike and keep pushing.
Yeah. I don't know. I love riding my bike. I ride my bike every single day. So this is the perfect way for me to visualize this whole process. One thing I really like there about the execution piece is as you build all this, you have to be willing to take that action. And like I was mentioning, the 0% credit card strategies, right? I know how they work. I know how it's going to work. I know when we need to have the money saved by, but then I had to pull the trigger, and that can be the scariest part as well. Cause then you have to do it, right? We have to have a couple $1,000s sitting on a credit card, making minimum payments. It's not earning any interest, but you have to kind of take that leap at the beginning. And then once it happens once, you're good. And even to be a more simple thing that could apply to everyone is I used to manually pay off every credit card every single month. I'd go look at the balance. I'd send the bill payer, whatever, right? Manually. And I was like, why am I doing this manually, right? There's an automatic payment to statement balance that you can do every month. It was just for some reason stuck in my mind that I wanted to do it on the first of every month. So then I got the knowledge to make sure I knew exactly how these automatic payments worked, right? Because one, I'm an over researcher for sure, but the execution on the very, I only did one auto payment the very first month. Nice. And the execution on just letting that go and then seeing it work and be like, okay, yeah, why am I worried about the rest of everything else? That's when I started going downhill, right? And I'm just coasting. I set all the rest of them up and now it's a piece of cake and I don't spend 30 minutes or whatever going through the different reward credit cards, making sure all of our statement balances are paid. It just does it automatically and I make sure there's enough in the checking account. And it's a whole lot easier now.
And I think that's one of the things that I didn't bring up in this is that you have to put in your reps. You know, granted, the bike method, you have to do reps in every stage. Budgeting used to take me a whole month to do. Well, I don't say all month. It took me almost all day because I had to log into all the different accounts and everything like that. Then now I can do budgeting within 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So, you know, when it comes to, and also when it comes to income, all right, cool. Yeah. You know, it took you forever to get about $50,000 to get your first job. It took you several months to get there. But once you're in there, okay, cool. You learn that process, build a rep, get another job. And to the point where it's like, you're comfortable, you know, your strategies for getting a job, landing a job, keeping a job, and moving up the ranks if you need to. And then as far as knowledge, you got to put your reps there too. You got to research. You got to constantly learn these different things. Even when it comes to your job. And the reason why I'm bringing up your job, because we all kind of start there and learn the ins and outs of the business. A lot of people just kind of have a job and just be like, man, I really hate this job, instead of really taking like, man, I get the opportunity to be here at a job that's making all this money. They're willing to invest in me and invest in this position. What other things is there a pass to offer? Because like my job currently, they offer like therapy sessions. I take full advantage of those. They offer a time off, and I take my time off to go to either conferences or try to learn new skills and assets, skills or abilities that I didn't even know I could. But because it provides that opportunity to still get paid and also learn something new, why not take advantage of that? And so that's where the knowledge comes in. And then the execution, you got to keep putting those reps. Like you say, when you do those investments, keep doing any investments, learn from it. And then now it becomes second nature.
I really like what you said there about putting in reps and getting that repetition, taking small steps at things, because I was thinking about like a video game reference, right? And if you put in cheat codes, the game's not as fun because you just skip right to the end level. Mm-hmm. You don't have to work through everything and kind of build your character as you go. And I think about that from like our lens now. If you just try to put in cheat codes or like use AI, right, to speed through everything, yeah, it can feel like you're disconnected from whatever you're trying to do. And so if you just tell AI to manage your money or whatever, you don't get those reps in, you don't figure out how to do it on your own. And that can be a really crucial piece to learn, is just to make sure you actually know how to do it on your own step by step.
Yeah. If I can bring back to the podcast side, because we're both podcasters and you've been doing this for quite a bit and I've been doing it for some time as well, before AI became friendly for the podcast community, we put in those reps, putting out those episodes, coming up with, you know, show notes every time, really listening to each episode and coming up with those key points so we can actually have those chapters built into the podcast show notes and come up with the email and come up with the blog and actually try to market ourselves. This takes time. But now that we can utilize AI because we've been doing it so well, we know what it's actually doing. And if it messes up, we can go back and correct it. Because we put in those reps, we know what it's supposed to look like. We know what it's supposed to feel like and sound like. And if it's not sounding properly, it doesn't work. But when it comes to our budget, you have to put in the reps. You got to know your budget. You got to know your income. AI isn't going to know where you're going to go unless you tell it. Mm-hmm. Even if you tell it, it doesn't know your full scope of situation. So
yeah, you have to be prepared, get your own reps in, go through the bike method on your own and understand how to fill that concrete foundation or whatever, all the different pictures we painted throughout this episode. You got to know how to take your income and use it for what you really want to do. Because if you just try to plug it into AI or just tell Facebook or whatever, how do I use this? There's always these missing pieces that only you know and only you're able to manage with your money. And honestly, that's what's so great about it. That's the personal side to all of this. But really, we can all do this. We can all get these reps in. We can all figure this out on our own. It doesn't have to be that difficult. That's one of my favorite things to teach, is that finance can be simple and it can be understandable. Mm-hmm. You just have to take it one small step at a time back to what you started this all with. Yep. You have to take those initial things that help you build momentum. You're not going to be able to figure out how to trade stock options and all that in one night. That's probably somewhere you don't ever need to get to, but you don't need to jump all the way to that point in one giant leap. Take everything one small step at a time. But Anthony, this has been a fantastic conversation. Everyone listening has no idea my dog interrupted us, so thank you for your patience and working through that with me. But how can people connect with you?
Yeah, so you can obviously listen to the About That Wallet podcast on all of your podcast listening platforms. Definitely check out aboutthatwallet.com. That's where I kind of do some of the blog posts. You can learn more about the bike method. Check out some of the resources. Just sign up for the newsletter. aboutthatwallet.com/newsletter. Go on and sign up, because I do a monthly newsletter just to kind of show all the ins and outs of what's happening. And it's a really cool way to kind of keep up.
Of course, every link you mentioned will be in the show notes, so people don't have to memorize it. They can just head there and they can search for your podcast right where they're listening to this one. And then they can go subscribe to both of our shows and keep both of us in their ears, right? The last question I have for you, though, is kind of the classic one I ask all of my guests. What's one thing that you have learned over your time teaching and implementing the bike method that you wish you could have applied and learned from the very beginning?
Execution. Out of the whole thing is that I really wish I had taken more risk when I was younger, because progress beats perfection. And I'm at the point now where I'm trying to make sure everything's perfect and everything is the greatest way. But think about it. Microsoft puts out an operating system and be like, oh wow, yeah, we didn't realize that the start menu doesn't come up as quickly when we press it. And just wait for the next update. Like, you give more grace to these bigger companies than you do the small ones. So all I ask for the listener or listeners is to give us grace. When we mess up as podcasters, we're doing our best. We'll correct it on the next time around and we'll get better. And I want you to give yourself that same grace. If you wind up losing that $1,000, it's okay. You can build it back up. You have the method. You got everything together. You know what it has. I mean, you have what it takes to build yourself back up to where you need to be. You got this.
Awesome. Yeah, what a wonderful note to leave it on right there. Just go out and execute. Do it. Take the risk and be willing to adapt and adjust as you need to. Anthony, that was a fantastic place to leave it on. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much, Kyle. It was fun.
Thank you so much to Anthony for coming on the podcast. I thoroughly enjoyed our conversation, and I hope each and every one of you listening today enjoyed it as well. But I want to wrap up here talking about E, that last letter in bike. E is for execution. I really like how much we talked about this step because I think it is the most crucial part. I think we could have spent an entire podcast episode on the E for execution piece of the bike method. One of the things that I just love and really want to harp on is take it in small steps. Don't try to do these big, gigantic leaps where you go from not ever having budgeted to trying to figure out the exact perfect investment allocation that corresponds with all the other goals you're trying to do, even though you've never managed money once. Don't try to do it in giant leaps. Make sure you have the knowledge, which is the K part of the bike method, and then go for it. Don't be afraid to take some risk. It's okay if you're messing something up. You can always try again, because guess what? More likely than not, if you have the knowledge and you've been working hard through this whole process, you're not going to mess it up. So just take one small step and learn what the next thing you need to do is, and then just keep going one step at a time. And the piece that I brought up about the AI conversation that we had, I was getting at the point that if we try to rush it, it'll feel overwhelming, it'll be dizzying and confusing. Because for me, if I try to use AI to do too much, it literally makes my head feel like it's spinning and my brain cannot focus. And that's because I try to have it do everything and I can't keep up with everything that it's trying to do all at once. So you have to take things one small step at a time, because if we try to spin our wheels too fast and do everything all at once, you're going to get confused, you're going to get overwhelmed, you're not going to be able to keep up with it mentally. And that is why it's so important with this E is for execution piece to take it one small step at a time. Don't get overwhelmed and just do the next small step that you need to do with your money. And that does it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you so much to Anthony for coming on the podcast. That was a fantastic money talk. So make sure you go check out his podcast. The link will be in the show notes. And I really like all four steps of his bike method, which are budget, income, knowledge, and execution. So which one of the four steps do you need to focus on? Do you need to make sure your framework is laid out with your budget? Do you need to go increase your income so that you can finally fill that foundation a whole lot quicker and have some fun with your money? What knowledge do you need to get? Do you need to get involved with the community? Who do you need to ask questions to in order to figure out what you're missing? Or are you on that last step and you just need to actually take the last step and do something? That last step can be the hardest. So go for it. You can do it. Take the next small step that you need to. And that's the main action item for each and every one of you today, is to execute on that thing that you have in your mind right now that you know you need to do with your money. But thank you for listening to today's episode. The best way to stay up to date and connected with all things Money Talk is to subscribe to the podcast. You can find the links in the show notes to email me or leave a comment on Spotify or YouTube. And if you're looking to get started with budgeting, sign up for a Money Talk today. I'd love to work with you and help you with your budgeting. The link is in the show notes. If you're a young adult or know one in your life who could benefit from some great financial planning advice, check out Financial Planning for Young Adults right where you're listening to this show. And remember, the best way to learn from today's episode is to go and have a money talk about today's topic with a fellow money buddy. And thank you for listening to this week's episode of Money Talk. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.